The ninth chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, and we will begin to read in a few moments in the sixth verse. The sixth verse of the ninth chapter of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Are the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Now, if you will, turn over to the book of Zechariah with me. Book of Zechariah, chapter 2. And we'll begin to read in a few moments in verse 1 of this second chapter of the book of Zechariah, chapter 2. And we'll begin to read in a few moments in verse 1. All right. In the seventh month, in the 120th day of the Lord, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying. Just a second. This is not what we're looking for. Let's go to Zechariah, all right? All right. I thought there was something wrong there, but we would have went on with it anyway, but the Lord will bless us and give us the opportunity to bring out some faults that he's shown unto us. So we find the second chapter of the book of Zechariah, verse 1, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, where goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what it is, the breadth of it, what is its height, its length. Behold, the angel who talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited like towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle in it. For I say of the Lord, will be unto it a wall of, and a roundabout, and will be in glory and in the midst of it. Ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest in the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which followed you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be spoiled to their servants, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, I will dwell in the midst of thee and the Lord. Now, Brother Garner Smith preached last night on dying, and that was a wonderful message from the Word of God. The Lord definitely showed me some things in that message, as he has each one of the messages has been preached before me. And I thank the Lord for each messenger and each message that has been preached. And I've been thinking, I'll be honest with you, I've thought a lot about dying in the last few weeks. And then I thought about what is it like, as Brother Garner brought out here. And then also, I was made to know and realize that, of course, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So the Lord Jesus has done my dying for me. But at the same time, I've never passed that way yet, and there's a fear there. As far as that part is concerned, not any fear for my soul, because I am assured in my heart over and over again that I belong to the Lord. But I will say here, so far as I know, most Bible people agree that the next great event in Bible history will be the rapture, which I do not believe will be long. And then after the rapture comes the seven-year tribulation. And after the seven-year tribulation comes the 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, I would say this, if there was no hereafter, if you want to phrase it that way, it would be worth it all to serve the Lord the few years he has on his earth, because we're far better. Well, I'm far better than a lost person would be if there wasn't any hereafter, because I have served the Lord and he's blessed my life. And so as we think on that, I believe that these scriptures that I'm preaching this afternoon, I believe they have to do with the millennial reign of Christ. And so we'll be using that phrase as we study the scriptures for us. We're made to rejoice. In fact, the best, this is what I call this message, the best is yet to come. I preached it Sunday morning at Northside Baptist Church, and the Lord blessed it, and we do feel glad of the Lord to preach it this afternoon. So we find, it is wonderful. It is wonderful this morning, or rather this afternoon, to be saved. To enjoy while I'm on this earth. But the blessings that God has given us on this earth does not even compare to what we will receive in eternity. And so we've just got just a little bit of it on this earth. When we come together in a Bible conference like this, it's fellowshipping with God's people. But then after a few days, we'll have to go separate ways. But them, dear ones, we will be together forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. So remember that. So we find then, first of all, in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10, we find, as we look at that for a few moments, Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Now, he said, lo, I will come and dwell in the midst. Now, we have the Lord's Spirit in our heart. The Holy Spirit of God took his abode in my heart 50 years ago. I will say I've been saved 50 years, sometime in February of 1946, and I've been saved for 50 years. And the Holy Spirit of God has dwelt in my heart that all of that period of time, and He's worked in convicting me of sin. He began His work on me prior to my being saved. He brought me to conviction, to godly sorrow and repentance, and unto salvation. And so we're thankful that that is the case, and His Spirit didn't stop convicting me then of my sin. It just started. And then I have trouble, dear one, when I see so many of God's people, so many people that have their names on church books who do not show much conviction about sin. Yeah. And so I say, dear ones, we must remember this. And it is our duty, pastors, to preach on this. But we are also remember this. Now, I will come, he will dwell in thy midst. Now, we have, as we say, we have a Lord's Spirit in our heart and our soul. But we're under the dominion of a corrupt government. Yes, it's a corrupt government. And I'm thankful that I live in America, that I can say something against my government without fear of being arrested. But at the same time, we have a corrupt government. We're in a corrupt world. We have to accept laws that we don't agree with. But then when the Lord sets up His millennial reign, if I understand it right, we'll come back with Him. He's going to come back. We're coming back with Him. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I'll say up there one that that will be wonderful. And so because there will be some things that we fear now, we won't fear then. We won't fear death then. There will be no hospitals because there will be nobody sick. There will be no police. There will be no courts because there's not going to be anybody violating the law. And I will say that will go for 1,000 years. Now, dear ones, I begin to feel my age. And of course, the Lord lets me live another 2 weeks. I'll be 66 years old. And as Brother Garner said last night, I don't know where it went. I don't know how in the world I could be 66 years old. But I will say this to you. The years are all there, and the Lord let me live them. But I will say this. The last 50 years, since my soul was saved, He has gave me a rare present help in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might find mercy to help in a time of need. Now, dear ones, when we go to the grave with our loved ones, when we follow our loved ones' body to the grave, we're far better than a lost person be, because we have a very present help in a time of need. And so, dear ones, this morning, this evening, let us remember that. Now, so keep in mind, we're not pleased. We hear a lot of politicking going on, and I'm not going to get involved in that. But I will tell you this much. The government and the present administration is corrupt. It's very corrupt. And so I would vote for anybody other than the one that's in there. So always remember that. But I will say this to you now as we're looking in this. But this is not going to last long. It's not going to be very long, dear ones, until the Lord's coming back. And then he will bring judgment on America. And so, all right. So somebody say, well, you sound like a Republican. I don't do it because I'm first a registered Christian, and I'm not worried about the party. I'll tell you that. And I will say this, if we look at this, then look in Zechariah now with me, the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, looking in the 20th and 21st verses. And in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and them. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now in that day, what day are we talking about? I believe that he's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. In that day, we who have been saved, we who have been raptured, and we find that we will dwell in holiness. Now, dear ones, to you, I say to you tonight, brother, this afternoon, that I've never been able to be all I want to be for the Lord. I'm trapped in a body. I'm trapped in a body that's sinful. The flesh is sinful. But I will say this to you. We are thankful to the Lord that there is a better day. There is a better day coming. And so as we look at this, we've been saved. It will be a better day. This government will be ruled by a holy God. And we will dwell in complete peace and holiness. Now, dear ones, there's not going to be no peace unto the Lord Jesus Christ, until they purge this world of sin in the 7-year tribulation, and then there will be peace. Now, they can get all the peace agreements signed between Israel and Lebanon if they want to, but there will never be peace between them until the Lord comes back and sets up his millennial reign. Amen. All right. So we should love that time. There will be no crooked politicians there. There will be no lying politicians there. There will be no promises that cannot be fulfilled. And we find there will be no crooked politicians who cheat, steal, connive to favor a select few. As we look at this, we're thankful that the one that will be in charge of that will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew no sin, and he is going to be the one that will be governing us. So we're thankful to the Lord for that. Now, I would say as we look at this, we will have been made complete holy by then. There will be no sin in our lives at that time, and we have been made holy. And we will be able to rejoice day in and day out in the presence of the holy God. I'm so thankful, dear ones. And like I say, I've witnessed a lot of things in the many years I've been able to live on this earth. But I will say this, it's getting worse every day. I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I don't see anything for America other than doom, because I will say this to you now. I'm not politicking. I don't care whether you're Democrat or whether you're Republican. First of all, you better determine who would be lead this nation closest to the Lord and vote for him. So as we look at that, all right, so we will dwell in holiness at that time. Now, Isaiah chapter 9, I'm sorry, you have Isaiah chapter 9, we find concerning this fault that we're dealing with now, Isaiah chapter 9, we find here one, there was for a few verses that I read there in Isaiah chapter 9. It'll take me a minute to get there, but we've got time enough to do that. All right. For unto us a child is born, unto us it's a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The government will be upon his shoulder. He will be the one that will be governor. He is to be our judge. Before that, we go before the judgment seat of Christ, dear ones. Now, I serve the Lord because I love him. I'd have no capability of loving him if it wasn't first he loved me. But I will say this, I have another reason for serving the Lord. I fear God. I fear God. Amen. I will say this, but nobody is all they ought to be for the Lord. But I'll tell you, if it were not for the amazing grace of God, every one of us would still be in our sins. If he had not have chosen us before the world began, we would have never had an opportunity to fellowship in this life with him, nor in the life that's to come. So we find as we look at that, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and there shall be no end. Look at that close in that. There shall be no end to peace. That government shall usher in a peace that will last through the 1,000 years, and then after that, through the eons of eternity. And so I'm so glad tonight, or rather this afternoon, I'm so glad that we have this to look forward to. If you're living for this life alone, the apostle of old said we are all men miserable. But at the same time, we find that there is a better day coming. Now, if you feel like that you're going to serve the Lord, you're going through life, going to fire bed to these, there'll be no problem, you can forget it right now. Because he has told us that blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of harm against you. Because they reviled the prophets before us. So remember that. So the government, this government will be holy and it will be upon his shoulders. And we find then as we look at this, then we'll have peace. Now you remember this. Don't you and I be hoodwinked in this election. There's nobody can bring peace. There's no individual can bring peace until this nation and this world has been purged from sin, which will come in that 7-year tribulation. There will be no peace. Amen. And so I'm not going to be hoodwinked by any of them as far as promising peace, because I know they can't deliver it. And so, but remember that. And so we hear much about keeping peace. Keeping the peace. Let me tell you something. We've never kept any peace, and we never will until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, because we don't have the capability of keeping the peace. All right. I'm sorry. Medicine I take dries my mouth out, and I have to have water here. But at the same time, let's go on a little further. We find, as we look at this, we don't have peace now. Because we're ruled by a godless government. We don't have peace now because of the nations with the nation, because we're godless, our governments and those nations are godless. And so we have allied ourselves, and it's something that's called the UN. We had no business ever getting in it. We allied ourselves with heathen countries and with godless people, and we expect the Lord to deliver us now. Now, I'm not smart enough to know the answer to it, but I know that was an answer to it. All right, so we find then that we will then have lasting peace. Dear ones, America has bankrupted itself in trying to keep the peace, giving money to the other countries. But I don't know that I'm smart enough to know the answer, but I'll tell you this much. It won't be any of that in the millennial reign. It won't be any of that. And I believe in the Gospel of John chapter 14, said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. I believe he started his church there. I believe that has primary application to the church. Now, I have used that in funeral messages, and I don't suppose it's out of order to use it, but he's speaking to his church there. So he's gone to build a place for us. Then one day he's going to come again. We're told, dear ones, that very soon, we do not know the day nor the hour, but we're told, dear ones, very soon, the voice of the archangel will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We that remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling eye. Go to meet him in the air where we should evermore be with the Lord. Then, dear ones, that's before the tribulation comes. And I will tell you this, I'm a pre-trib person. I will tell you this, that's before the tribulation comes. The Lord's church and the Lord's people that are on this earth, when tribulation begins, will not go through the tribulation. And I'm thankful we won't. I could not even wish a pet dog of mine to go through it. For if you read what the Bible tells us about, it tells us about what will happen in the tribulation. That'll be when they will be trying for rocks to fall on. Men will pray to die, but they can't. And so I will say to you, but then after that, Satan will be chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He will have no more dominion at that time. And so this is why that you don't have peace now. He's not chained now. He's loose. And he's not the little fellow running around in red suit underwear with a pitchfork giving. You won't find him. That's not what he looks like. That's what the world says he looks like. But I will say that is a devil ploy to get you off of what he really is. All right, so remember that now as we think on this for a little while. Then we're going to look in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 and 3. Go back and look at it for you, all right? And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. All right. But at the same time, dear ones, now we look at the complete power. God has complete power now, but he's allowed the devil to go a little ways. But when the Lord brings it to a stop, it'll stop. Follow me? He can't go no further than the Lord allowed him to go. That's what I'm trying to say. And so what we find, then he'll be chained in the bottomless pit. Then there will be peace on this earth. And peace like we've never known before. Amen. And so as we look at this, we've saw wars, rumors of wars. We've had loved ones that went to war and were killed in the war, never saw them again. We have loved ones, all of that. But I will say this to you this afternoon, how that we must remember that Satan isn't chained yet, but he's going to be. And he's going to be. All right. Now, the complete power over Satan. He shall and he will have been chained in the bottomless pit, and he will be completely subdued under the mighty hand of God. Oh, great day. Dear one, this afternoon, may God help us. May we get just a little glimpse of what it's going to be like in eternity. And I think that we won't live for this world only. Because I will say this, the average person wants to get more money. More money, more money, more money. So they can buy more things, more things, more things. And money and things will never buy you peace. They'll never buy you contentment in your own heart. And so we might as well forget it. I said when our first baby was born, I said, well, I hope to be able to give each one of my children $1 million when 21 years old. I never even saw $1 million much. But I will tell you this, I gave up that a long time ago. But I'll tell you what, I've tried to instill with them some values. Now, whether they're there in them or not, I cannot tell you. But I'll say this much, their mother and me, we've tried to instill in them some Christian values and some things that will go with them all through life. So we find as we look at this, he will be completely subdued in the bottomless pit. And so under the mighty hand of God, that's going to be a great day, dear ones. You see, this life is not all of it. The American funeral is one of the biggest hoaxes that's ever been pulled. Everything about it pulls for your emotions. And of course, you're emotional if your loved one die. But at the same time, you're being set up to spend a lot of money. What they're doing, that's what the undertaker's doing for you. He's setting you up to spend a lot of money with it. So we find as we look at this, and so now let us look, if you will, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. This is a prophecy, I believe, concerning it. The 65th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we begin to read in 18th verse. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, her people a joy. Now we've been seeing in recent news how the Jerusalem being abused again, Israel being abused again. Thank God that they do retaliate. I think they have every right to retaliate. And I think if the UN will get out of it and let them alone, Israel will take care of it. But they won't do that until it's the time the Lord decided for it to be. But we find here in the 19th verse, he said, I will rejoice in Jerusalem, joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall be no more. Shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more infant of days, nor old man that have not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old, I shall be accursed. Dear ones, we look at the 21st, if you will, at verse. And they will build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect. I want you to notice that. Mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. All right. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, their offspring with them. Verse 24. And it will come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not burn nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. Now, that's a little glimpse from the prophet Isaiah on what it will be like. So I will say to you this afternoon, Let us look at these verses a little more careful for just a little while that we have left here. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 18 tells us how Jerusalem will rejoice. Today there's war and rumors of wars there. They've suffered under the hands of a hostile world. They've suffered under the hands of a hostile enemy. But I will tell you how there will be no war, because the victory will have already been won. The victory has already been purchased, and it will be won, and they will have peace. And so as we look at this, it does not mean they won't be judged for their sins, but it does mean they will have peace. All right. So the 19th verse, it tells us, For I will rejoice in Jerusalem. The voice of weeping will be heard no more. Dear ones, all of us have walked to the gravesite with the bodies of our loved ones. We've walked to the gravesite with the bodies of our dear friends. But I'll tell you something to you now. There won't be no need for that when in the millennial reign of Christ, because we will be at peace, and there will be nobody dying during that time, if I understand it right. All right. So the voice of weeping will be no more heard, and there's not any voice of crying. I saw on TV, I believe it was last week, an Israeli mother holding a dead child in her arms and screaming and crying. But I'll tell you this, that's going to come to an end. And so the Lord will settle that during the 7-year tribulation, if I'm not mistaken. All right. Verse 20, it tells us there shall be no more in it an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. Now, age bothers you. We might as well admit it. The older you get, the more you worry about age. Now, my wife teases me about it. She said, I'm glad I've got a birthday, because I'm glad I'm around to have another. And so, but anyway, the longer we live, of course, the older we get. But at the same time, nobody's ever been able to finish what they want to finish on this earth. Because in reality, you know you're going to die, but otherwise you're trying to live forever on this earth. All right. We find then in 24th, they shall build houses in them, and they shall plant and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, eat the fruit of them. There's been a menu person built a new house, and sometimes it becomes a little god to them. They die, leave it all. I'll tell you how much you're going to leave your family, whoever you leave it to, you're going to leave it all. You're not going to take it down with you. And so I will say this to you. My wife and I, and this is not, only by the grace of God can we do this. But we started a long time ago depositing money in the bank of heaven. It gives you the best interest rate there is. And I will say you cannot ever outgive God. And there's people in my church that make 3 times what I make. They can't figure out how I get along so well. You know why it is? Because I'm honoring God with what He gives me. And so, my wife and me, we rejoice when something extra come in, we can give the Lord part of it. So one time we were trying to decide, the church wanted to decide whether they're going to receive an offering by the offering plate or the box. I said, I'm not going to get into that. We'll take it any way you want to. But I said, I'll tell you this much. When I leave this building on the Lord's day, my tithe's going to be there and my offering's going to be there. It may have to throw it in the corner, but I'm not going home with it. And so I said, so I let them try it for a month, and we're still using the box. But at the same time, the Lord will take care of you. He's always took care of me, and He always will, as long as I seek to walk in His will. All right. So they shall build houses and inhabit them. There are people building houses today that won't get to stay in them very long. First of all, the mortgage company will probably get it within 10 years. And I don't know your financial situation, but if you tie yourself down for every penny you got for a house payment, more than likely sometime later the mortgage company will get it. And you will wind up in nothing. So, and this does not mean, I've preached this to Northside Sunday morning, it does not mean you shouldn't have nice homes. It does not mean you shouldn't have nice things. But you better be sure of one thing. They don't become a god to you. You better be sure that you're not motivated by that one thing. All right, so remember that. Now we will look in the 21st verse. Let's look in the 22nd verse. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of the tree are the days of my people, mine elect. I love that. Mine elect Who are they? They are the ones that were chosen in eternity before the foundations of the world. They are the ones that had He sent His Spirit into. He sent His Son to die for. They are the ones He sent His Spirit to apply the Word unto them. That's who they are. That's who we are. Said, mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. I have a brother, I'm not trying to get personal down. I have a brother, if they won't let him count his money and gets in heaven, he'll die. He says he's going to heaven. I hope he does. But I'll tell you one thing, that money's got to be left down here. I told him one time, I said, I'm going to tell you how much you're going to leave your grandchildren. You're going to leave it every bit. And that don't make any difference how many times you walked down and took a Christian church pastor by the hand. That's not going to do you any good. So, but I will say this, as he says he's saved, I'm not going to dispute that. I can doubt it, but I just have to leave that between him and God. Because he will be in the hands of a just God when he leaves. All right. They shall not labor in vain. How many of us has bought an automobile? The time of things paid for us, you wore out. We've got to go buy another. We've got to pay for another. And if you figure how much interest we paid, Lord knows that'd be enough to keep any family going for several years. But at the same time, you buy and others ride sometimes. Follow me? Because one day you're going to have your soul required of you. And so you better make preparations. All right. Then we find in the 22nd that mine elect shall long enjoy. Now let's look in Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12, if you will, please. And we will look in verse 16 through 21. All right. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no place to bestow my crops? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater. And there will I bestow all my goods, and my crops and my goods. The 19th verse, and I shall say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou shalt provide? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich. I told God, this is a man that God called a fool. He said, thou fool. He had made preparations to live for a long time. But that very night, his soul was required of him. He went before, and he went empty-handed. Yeah. And so, dear ones, I don't mean, when I preached this to my church, I said, I don't mean you shouldn't be conservative as you can be. Save money if you can, if you honor God with your money, and save it at the same time, do. But if you cannot save it without taking what belongs to God, you stop saving.
That's right.
Now, but I will say this. It's not worth it to me. The Lord has given me a nice car. It's 3 years old. The church bought it for me. The church paid for it all except about 3 more payments. And so, but I will say this, and I don't think we were wrong to do that. I accepted it. But at the same time, it's just another automobile. And it'll wear out. First thing you know, me or somebody going to have to buy another. Follow me? And so you get into that endless cycle. But I will say this to you. Dear ones, in the millennial reign of Christ, we won't have to worry about that. There's a lot that I don't know. Probably more that I don't know about it than that I do. Because I will say this, when man has preached everything in God's Word and understands everything that God will let him understand, the half has still not yet been told. And so when he talks to us about the glories of heaven and the glories of the millennial reign, the half has not yet been told. And so, dear ones, I'm looking forward to that. I will be just like you. I will, when I've got something wrong with me, I'll go to the doctor as quick as I can. Do my best to get you treated before I can live a little longer. But one day, something's going to be wrong with every one of us that the doctor's not going to do a thing for you. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with any rapture, then every one of us is headed for the grave. Our bodies are headed for the grave. Now, whether you want to be buried in an open tomb or upper tomb, but I will say this. All my desire has been that I'd like my body to be put in a crypt in a mausoleum, And I went and talked to the undertaker at the Elkins, and I said, if you'll build one, I'll buy the first two crypts, my wife and me. He said, Brother Smith, if you'll build one, I'll take the first crypts too, because you don't know what you're talking about as far as money is concerned. And so, but he said, so anyway, I thought maybe you should go out there a few blocks, lay a few blocks alone, and you can slip a casket back there in it. But there's too many codes that has to be going by on that. But at the same time, it won't make that much difference. Because long before anybody ever said any good thing over my body, I'll be with the Lord. I'll tell you, a few weeks ago, I ran into trouble. I got into a place where I absolutely had to trust the Lord. For nobody else to trust. And I thank God that He saw me through it. And I have health problems now. But the Lord let me live. He knows how long I'm going to live. And all I have to say this, I hope to be active. And the day I have to leave this world. Now, I can't have it. That's the way the Lord made me. Follow me? He didn't make me to quit. I can't quit. The only way I can quit is get paralyzed. That's why I don't want to quit. Because, and yet, I look at all you brethren that are my dear friends. I feel if I'm the least profitable servant, I'm the least profitable servant that ever lived. Because you don't know me like I know me. You don't know how much trouble I have with me. Someone made a mistake. My church is wonderful. There have been very few problems through the years. Someone told my wife one time, said, Brother Smith is too hard on his church members. He done told his wrong one. She said, you don't realize how hard he is on himself. He can't never get out of himself all he wants. And every time something goes wrong, he blames himself for it. See, you ought to have to live with that sometimes. See? But I would say this, that we have, the Lord puts us in a place many times where all we can do is trust Him. In this situation, I hope behind me. But at the same time, the Lord knows. And I'll tell you this, He will cause you to accept whatever problems you got. You may think you couldn't dare accept it, but you can. And then I haven't got dying grace right now. You know why? So far as I know, I'm not dying now. So far as I know, I don't need dying grace until I start to die. What would I do with it? So, all right, we're going to have to hurry here. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and 23, all right? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they are ourselves also. We are this first fruits of the Spirit. When we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of that is the redemption of our body. Dear ones, this spiritual part of me groans within me. Oh, I want to get out of this body. I've been trapped in it for 66 years. And I will say this, I'm talking about the rapture. And I dread death because I don't want to leave my loved ones. But that's not going to hinder or delay it one minute. But I will say this, that we are within ourselves. A person who wants to serve the Lord will recognize his or her inabilities. We may be dedicated to the Lord, and people may say we're dedicated to the Lord, and I hope we are, but I'll tell you this much. You may not be as dedicated as people think you are. I'm not accusing you. But at the same time, you know yourself more than anybody else does. And I tell my church, sometimes we have a visitor. Somebody comes in there and starts talking about how good they are. I step back about 3 feet from them. I watch them. Because I'll tell you one thing, that is not the marks of a person that's close to the Lord. A person that's close to the Lord will not be talking that way. And so I watch them. I figure they might be sent there by the devil. And then you say, well, does the devil send members? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I'm afraid I've got a few that he sent. But I would say that there would not be many of them, I don't think. But I will say this much, that when the Lord comes back, He will discern that. I'm not to discern that. I'm to preach the Word of God to the people. I'm to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, for the time will come when they're not adhered to the teachers have a heap to them, to sound doctor, the heap to themselves, teachers have an itching ears. So, I will say this, I've said it to my people many times. You may or may not agree with it. I think you will. What is a pastor doing? He's trying to prepare people to meet the Lord. And somebody said, Brother Smith, I wish you'd get off that. I said, I expect you do. But I'm not going to get off of it, because until you get that problem in your life straight, you're not prepared to meet the Lord. I'll have work to do when the Lord comes back, I'm sure of that, if I'm still alive. But I will say this to you. This is what we're talking about. The best is yet to come. See? We may get under the juniper tree, and all of us do that at one time or the other.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're not looking at reality if we do. Because in reality, the Lord's blessing us above all people. And in reality, we got to hope that this world don't hell. There's two kinds of churches in this world, just two. It's the world's church and the Lord's church. And I will say this, anything that's not, I can't help it, if you're not a missionary Baptist, if you're not, I'm sorry for you, but I'll tell you this much, if you want a true church, you want a church going to be a bride, going to be a bride of Christ, you get in an independent missionary Baptist church, put your life service for the Lord. Amen. Say, well, you don't tell me what to do. I won't. I can't. But I will say this much, I can preach what I believe to be the truth of God's word to you. Amen. I thank you, Brother Titus, Home Baptist Church, for allowing me this few minutes to preach the Word of God.